Get your Bible out. Thank you, Pastor Alter, for inviting me back. It's been about 4 years since I've been here, and I count it a tremendous privilege to be back here at Grace Baptist Church. I only have one verse of Scripture for you this morning, so why don't you turn to 2 Corinthians. If you were not here in Sunday school, I did a presentation on the history of the chapters and verses in the Bible. So if you were not here, I have a small booklet on that subject on my book table. Monday night, I will be doing a presentation called The Making of the King James Bible, Who, What, Where, When, and Why. So you don't want to miss that on Monday night. And then Tuesday night, I'll be talking about and doing a presentation about the King James translators. And I'll be announcing the names of two recently discovered translators. So make sure you're here for that as well. And I will be back at my book table after the service. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is our text for this morning. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Acts chapter 18, Paul came to Corinth and preached the gospel and established the church. After leaving Corinth, he wrote 1 Corinthians. Then after conferring with Titus about the Corinthians, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. In the midst of this very personal letter where Paul defends his ministry, we find some great doctrinal truths. And that's what we're going to see in this passage this morning. Remember, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, first of all, for doctrine. Now, because Christ, our text says, therefore, because Christ has died and rose again, we no longer live for ourselves, but for Christ, verse 15, and we no longer judge after the flesh, but we judge after the Spirit, verse 16. Now, in our text, verse 17, notice the word new occurs twice. A new creature. All things are become new. Everybody wants something new. The newest video game. Everybody wants a new car. If you can't get it, you get the new car smell and you spray it in your old car. Everybody wants a new house, new clothes. They want a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend. Some people want a new wife or a new husband. Christians included. You look at the divorce rate among Christians, unfortunately. Some Christians want a new Bible. They go that far in wanting something new. Now, in Acts 17, the Athenians, what did they do? They spent their time in nothing else but to hear some new thing. I want to preach this morning on new life in Christ. New life in Christ. The treasures of the Word of God are incalculable. I want you to never look at this verse the same way again. We're going to be in this verse. We're not going to turn anywhere else this morning. I want to say 10 things about the first half of this verse. And then I want to make some doctrinal and practical remarks on the second half. So notice the first part of this verse. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So I want you to look at the first part of this verse in 10 different ways. Now, in most churches, if I said that, that would mean 10 different Bible versions. Some old guy in the back would still be using the King James. The preacher, his Bible would be his Greek New Testament. And then this guy would have an NIV, and then this guy a New American Standard. And then somebody over here would have an ESV, and then somebody would have a New RSV over here. And then a Christian Standard Bible published by the Southern Baptist, somebody might have, and a New Living Translation over here, a NET Bible somewhere else, and then somebody might have a New King James. So that's what that means at some churches, not at this church, all right? It's only one Bible that we're going to use this morning. So notice, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Here's the first thing I want to say. Look at the verse. If any man be in Christ, that's our emphasis, Christ, he's a new creature. And I want to say four things about that. First of all, in Christ, not in some other name. the Jews trust in Abraham or Moses. The Jews told Jesus, we be Abraham's seed. They said, we are Moses' disciple. The Catholics trust in the Pope or Mary. The Muslims trust in Muhammad. The Buddhists trust in Buddha. The Mormons trust in Joseph Smith. The Seventh-day Adventists trust in Ellen G. White. Some people trust in the Dalai Lama. Some Americans trust in Donald Trump. That's their trust, including many Christians. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Socrates taught for 40 years, Plato for 50, Aristotle for 40. Christ only taught for 3, but look at the impact he had on the world, so much that the calendar is organized after his birth. Do you ever tell people that Jesus Christ is the only way and that their religious leader is a fake and a liar? All right, the second thing I want to say is in Christ, not in religion. Not attend Mass, not pray the rosary, not say prayers, Hail Mary, Our Father, not speak in tongues, not pray toward Mecca, not keep the Sabbath, not keep the Golden Rule, not keep the Ten Commandments, not even believing. You know, the Bible says, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The new Bibles take out on me. They just say, he that believeth. Well, believe what? So, in Christ, not in religion. Having religion is not the same thing as being in Christ. Number 3, in Christ, not in water. Baptism or regeneration, whether taught by Catholics or Protestants, is one of the greatest heresies of all time. Now, here's a true story, and I say that because 90% of what most preachers say, they make up, even when they say it's a true story. This is a true story. When I lived in, I guess I was in Pensacola, or maybe I still lived in Central Florida, I don't know. But a Lutheran church nearby had an open house. They invited the whole neighborhood to come. We're having an open house. Come to the Lutheran church. Learn about Lutherans. So I went. I was young and zealous, and so I went to the church, and I met with the, I guess he's a pastor. He had a collar on backwards, and I asked him one question. I said, are you saved? And here's what he said to me. I'll never forget this. I was saved when I was baptized as an infant. That's what he told me. So in Christ, not in water. And finally, in Christ, not in a church. Catholics, Mormons, and the Church of Christ, they especially connect church membership with salvation. Going to church won't save you. Going to the right church won't save you. Going to an independent Baptist church is not going to save you. You know, it must be a terrible thing to go to church your whole life every Sunday and then wake up in hell thinking you did the right thing. All right, look at our text again. I told you we're going to look at 10 things on this first phrase. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. So notice the second time we go through it. If any man be in Christ. That's my focus here. If any man be in Christ. I want to say 5 things about this. First of all, the unsaved man is in Adam. People aren't born in Christ just because of the incarnation. Secondly, your first birth is no good. Psalm 51:5, David said, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Your first birth is no good because your parents' birth is no good, and their parents' birth is no good. Your parents may have been wealthy, model citizens, community leaders. They may be descended from noble stock. Their birth was still no good. Number 3, you must get out of Adam and into Christ. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Number 4, you must get in Christ because grace is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:1, Redemption is in Christ, Romans 3:24. The love of God is in Christ, Romans 8:39. Sanctification is in Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:2. And God is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:19. In Christ, we who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And number five, it's not enough to confess Christ, to wear a cross around your neck, to wear a cross lapel pin, or wear a crucifix around your neck. It's not enough to celebrate Christmas, go to church on Easter Sunday. It's not enough to think Christ was a good man or a good teacher. You must be in Christ. All right, look at our text again. Look at our text again. We're going to go through it a third way now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Look at it this way. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Be. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I want to say three things about this. Not hope to be in Christ. Not profess to be in Christ. Not plan to be in Christ. Not try to be in Christ. Not working to be in Christ. Not think you're in Christ, but actually be in Christ. Secondly, not in and out of Christ based on something you say or do or don't do, but actually be in Christ. And thirdly, you're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. It's black and white. There's no gray of any shade. Just as in the afterlife, there's only heaven or hell. There's no purgatory. So in this life, you're either in Christ or you're in Adam. There's no middle ground. The Bible says, in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All right, look at our text again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Let's look at this a fourth way. Knowing what that verse says, I can make this statement. If any man not be in Christ, he's not a new creature. I want to say four things about that. Number one, he's spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1, dead in trespasses and sins. Therefore, salvation is spoken of as a resurrection. John 5:24 says we're passed from death unto life when we're saved. All right, secondly, he's condemned. John 3:18, he that believeth not is condemned already. Therefore, salvation includes being justified. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Number three, he's without hope. Ephesians 2:12, having no hope and without God in the world. Therefore, salvation means we have a blessed hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope. And finally, if you're not in Christ, if you're not saved, you're lost. To be almost saved is to be totally lost. Spurgeon said, I do not know if there is a more dreadful word in the English language than that word lost. D.L. Moody said, Christ died for sin. The believer dies to sin, but the unbeliever dies in sin. John 8:24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. All right, look at our text again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Let's look at this another way. The text does not say, if any man be a new creature, he's in Christ. Men, I want to say two things about this. Men try by their works to make themselves new creatures. They turn over a new leaf. They try to keep the golden rule. They make New Year's resolutions. They reform their life. They attend church. They put money in the offering. They volunteer at the food bank. They visit their great aunt in some nursing home. They quit smoking. They give money to bums on the side of the road. They donate to Toys for Tots. They try to protect the environment. They do their part to make the world a better place. They put money in the Salvation Army kettle. They give the United Way. They do these things to make themselves new creatures. Now, is it okay to turn over a new leaf? Well, sure. Is it okay to try to keep the golden rule? Well, unquestionably it is. Is it okay to make a New Year's resolutions? Undoubtedly. Is it okay to reform your life? Definitely. Is it okay to attend church? Well, of course it is. Is it okay to put money in the church offering? Our missionaries depend on it. Is it okay to volunteer at a food bank? Well, surely. Is it okay to visit your great aunt in that nursing home? Absolutely. Is it okay to quit smoking? Certainly. I recommend you do. Is it okay to do the other things I mentioned? I suppose it isn't. It isn't wrong to do these things unless you spend money you should be putting toward the Lord's work. But I don't do most of these things except for one thing. I was in Las Vegas once and I did see a bum with a sign saying, "I need a beer." So I gave the guy $1 for being honest. Instead of saying, you know, "need help, homeless veteran," and what you usually see on the signs, at least he was honest. So I did give him some money. So my point is this. Doing any or all these things will not save you. You cannot make yourself a new creature. That would be putting the cart before the horse, the caboose before the locomotive, the building before the foundation. Augustine said, "Good works, as they are called in sinners, are nothing but splendid sins." The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. The second thing I want to say is that salvation is not of works. I was saved reading two verses in a King James Bible. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 4, 5. "To him that worketh not." Salvation is not just something for nothing. It's everything for nothing. There are hundreds of religions and philosophies in the world, but there's really only two: do or done. Religion says do, salvation says done. There's nothing you can do. The best you can do will send you to the lake of fire. All right, number six, let's look at our text again. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." How can we look at this text again? Notice it says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." If. I want to say three things about this. First of all, salvation is not automatic because of something Christ did. Christ's incarnation, Christ's death, Christ's atonement, Christ's resurrection does not automatically make you a child of God. You have to receive Christ, John 1:12. The second thing I want to say is this. Salvation is not guaranteed because of something someone did for you. Just because you were baptized as an infant does not mean that you're saved. Hell is full of people who were baptized as an infant. Just because you confess your sins to a priest and he says he forgives them, that's not good enough. Maybe you're born in a Christian home. Your parents are Christians, or they enroll you in a Christian school. Just because somebody does something for you, that's not going to affect your salvation. Catholics, they have masses said for you after you're dead. Too late. It's not going to do anything. They have masses said so you can get out of purgatory. Mormons baptize for the dead. Some people think because they're born in America, they're a Christian and they're saved. You have to believe on Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, Acts 16:31. All right, the third thing I want to say is that salvation may not be available tomorrow. You ever read about the sudden death of Herod in Acts 12? The angel smote him because he gave not God the glory. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? They lied and God immediately smote them to death. You may have a car accident on the way home from church today. You may have a stroke or a heart attack. You may just go to sleep tonight and not wake up. The only thing certain about life is that you must leave it. The only thing worse than growing old is to be denied the privilege. There were four demons in hell plotting the best strategy to damn sinners to hell. First one said, I'll go to the earth and tell men the Bible's a fable. The devil said, no. Second one said, I'll go to the earth and tell men there's no God. Devil said, no. Third one said, I'll go to the earth and tell men there's no hell. Devil said, no, don't say that. The fourth one said, I'll go to the earth and tell them the Bible's the word of God. There is a God and there is a hell, but I'll tell them, don't be in a hurry. You can get saved tomorrow. That's the one the devil sent. You have to receive Christ and believe on Christ before it's too late. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. All right, look at our text again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Here's another way to look at that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's my focus this time. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I want to say five things about that. First of all, any man. And when I say man, I mean man in the generic sense. But of course, who didn't know that except some buzz-cut feminist with a hyphenated last name? There's nothing any crazier than to read a book or an article and have the author say he, and then in parentheses, or she. Or he'll say he slash she, or sometimes they'll just say she. Nothing more frustrating than that. The Bible's not a politically correct book, is my point. All right, number two, any person, Jew or Gentile, black or white, American or foreigner, tall or short, fat or thin, rich or poor, gay or straight. Number three, any sinner, not just the elect. That's Calvinism. 1 Timothy 2:4, God will have all men to be saved. Revelation 22:17, whosoever will. But you know, why do we sometimes act like only the elect will be saved? And we just ignore our duties. All right, number four, any sin. Moses was a murderer. David committed adultery. Rahab was a harlot. Mary Magdalene had seven devils. Paul persecuted the church. You, your sin. So any sin. Anyone can be saved no matter how wicked or depraved they are. If that was not true, I would not be standing here. All right, finally, any individual. Not if anyone's parents are in Christ, not if anyone's grandparents are in Christ, not if your father or your uncle's a preacher, not even if your mother's a preacher. Any individual. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All right, look at our text again, number eight. Look at our text again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's my emphasis this time. He is a new creature. And I want to say two things about that. First of all, not the appearance of a new creature. Not a new creature on the outside. Not a reformed creature. Not a patched up creature. Not a fixed up creature. Not a dressed up creature. Not a new creature suit that you wear to church. But a new creature. All right, secondly, the new things are on the inside. The new birth. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. A new spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. A new identity, 1 Corinthians 10:32, talks about Jews, Gentiles, church of God. If you are a new creature, you're part of the church of God. The Bible knows nothing about Jewish Christians or Messianic Jews. You're either Jew, Gentile, or church of God. The only hope for a new life is in Christ. All right, number 9, look at our text again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All right, here's how I want to look at it this time. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's my emphasis. He is a new creature. And I want to say 4 things about that. Number 1, you are a new creature in Christ. Not hope to be, not can be, not could be, not may be, not might be, not shall be, not will be, not may be, not perhaps, not possibly, but a new creature right now if you're in Christ. Not a new creature after you speak in tongues, not a new creature after you get baptized, not a new creature after you get a haircut or reform your life, not a new creature after you quit smoking and drinking and using drugs or join a church. A new creature now. All right, number 2, you can't be unborn. You can change your name. You can change your address. You can change your country. You can change your job. You can change your spouse. I don't recommend it. You can change your hair color or hairstyle. You can get adopted. Some people think they can even change their gender, but there's one thing you can't change, your parents. You're stuck with them. So you can't be unborn. Number 3, you can't be separated from Christ. Ephesians 5:30, we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And then number 4, I want to say this, you cannot lose your salvation. Some of you worry about losing your salvation. In a crowd this size, I guarantee some of you worry about losing your salvation. If you could lose it, you've already lost it. Okay, you've already lost it. God's standard is absolute holiness, not some petty standard that you or somebody sets up. So if you can lose it, you've already lost it. Salvation is permanent or it's not salvation. It's just a temporary state you're in that you might not be in tomorrow or the next day. All right, number 10, I said that we were going to look at this passage 10 different ways, the first part of the passage. Look at our text. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All right, I want to read it this way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Not his family. I want to say 2 things. First of all, not his family. Salvation is individualistic. You can't get saved for your children or your grandchildren or your relatives or your neighbors and your friends. Only for yourself. All right? Secondly, not his country. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not his country. There's no such thing as a Christian nation. Never has been, never will be. If everyone in the United States got saved, there still wouldn't be a Christian nation. Individuals are Christians, not nations, not cities, not counties, not towns or countries or regions. The country and the government are anti-Christian. That's why I would never do anything, say anything, sing anything, or wear anything that unites or insinuates a connection between the cross of Christ and any patriotic, nationalistic, or governmental song, symbol, or institution. All right, here's the second point of my message. I said I was going to give you some doctrinal and practical things on the second half of this verse. So look at your text again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now let's continue this time. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So let me make some doctrinal and practical remarks on the second half of this verse. First of all, just a few doctrinal remarks. Old things. Gone is our enmity with God. Ephesians 2:16. Gone is our sin. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west. All right, new things. Galatians 4:6. When we're saved, we have a new father. We cry, Abba, Father. We have a new master. Romans 6:18, right? People that are not saved are servants of sin. We are servants of righteousness, the Bible says. So that's some doctrinal things. How about some practical things about the second part of this verse? Old things are passed away. Old opinions are passed away. The fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. Old beliefs are passed away. One religion is just as good as another. There's good in all religion. Old plans are passed away. I want to make a lot of money, retire, do what I want to do. Old habits are passed away. Smoking, drinking. Old affections are passed away. Your car, your house, your possessions. Old desires are passed away. Lust, pornography. Old motives are passed away. Revenge, greed. Old obligations are passed away to your friends, your family, to organizations that you feel committed to. Old principles are passed away. What's in it for me? Old traditions are passed away. Well, everybody ought to vote. Old cliches are passed away. Support the troops. Old philosophies are passed away. The end justifies the means. Those things are passed away. All right? Another practical thing. Behold. Our text has this word, behold. The Bible says, behold, I come quickly. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. When God says, behold, you better pay attention. All right? And then finally, all things are become new. When you're saved, you get new speech. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. When you get saved, you have new plans. James 4:15, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. When you're saved, you have new affections. Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. When you're saved, you have new principles. Colossians 3:23, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you're saved, you have new thoughts. Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, think on these things. When you're saved, you have a new identity. Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man, Paul says. When you're saved, you have a new destination. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you're saved, you have a new name. Acts 11:26, the disciples were called Christians. When you're saved, you have new actions. Titus 3:8, they which have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. You have new desires. Philippians 1:23, Paul said, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. And finally, you have a new song, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, in conclusion, I want to say this. On October 12th, 1980, I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And my life has not been the same since. So my question for you is, have you met him? Have you let him change your life? If you're not saved, you need a new life in Christ, not in religion. You know, God wants all things new. Revelation 21, behold, I make all things new. New heaven, new earth. Men sometimes put away old habits and show an outward change, but only God can make all things new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.